Hey listeners, we've got an exciting offer for this episode. We're thrilled to share a 30% off registration code for TBM Conference 2024 in San Diego from November 4th through 6th. This event is perfect for those of you interested in TBM and ITFM topics. You'll get to hear from experts about key insights on optimizing your tech investments from cloud to AI. Don't miss out. Use promo code TBMTalk30 when you register for the event at tbmconference.org. The promo code is TBMTALK30. Welcome back to TBM Talks. I'm your host, Kiara Zapanta, and if you joined us last time, you're already familiar with our deep dive into the world of showback and chargeback. If you haven't listened to our first part yet, I highly recommend starting there first to get the full picture. So in today's episode, we're continuing our conversation by exploring the practical side of implementing these models. We'll navigate the complexities of rolling out showback and chargeback, discuss real-world challenges, and provide actionable tips to help you elevate your TBM and ITFM practices. Joining us again is Quinn Abraham, Director of TBM and FinOps at Maryville Consulting Group. Quinn, it's great to have you back on today.
Yeah, excited to continue the conversation.
Awesome. So in our previous discussion, Quinn shared foundational insights into the concepts of showback and chargeback and their strategic importance. Today, we're shifting our focus to the practical side, how to implement these models effectively and overcome common obstacles and leverage strategies that can drive real impact. So without further ado, let's just jump right into it. So our first question today is, based on your experience, what are the keys to implementing chargeback?
Yeah, good question. Some of this will kind of pull on some of the threads we mentioned in part one. And the first one I would categorize as simple methodology choices you can make that will really set your program up for success. So the first one is use prices. I mentioned this in part one, but once again, prices remove the noise that's associated with financials changing month over month. It focuses the business on influencing their consumption, not questioning cost. You don't need to set prices for every bit of technology spend, just to be clear. I'd really focus it on the areas that are influenceable. Things that are not influenceable, security, management, maybe areas you have data gaps. You can use a cost-based recovery model, but for the things that you want the business to influence, I'll always use prices. The second point is recovery. So that's along the thread of using prices. So I'm sure a lot of you are familiar with what recovery is, but at the end of the day, it's just the difference between the price that you're charging something out at and the cost of that good. So if you're charging something out at $12 per unit and the cost is $10, you're over recovering, 12 minus 10, $2, right? So what you need to ensure that you do throughout the year is manage that recovery. So typically we recommend that you view and manage that recovery at the service level in Aptia, and you're able to then say on a monthly basis as you move towards that quarterly charge out that we mentioned before, do you or do you not need to recover? You can set thresholds with corporate finance to say if we exceed the threshold by like 5% of your budget by service, we implement a recovery, and we would recommend you do that on a quarterly basis versus just at the end of the year. And then the last point too, in terms of simple methodology choices, is that billing frequency, which we mentioned before, is kind of aligning towards that quarterly bill out, not monthly, not annual, where annual is not frequent enough, monthly is too frequent, or it becomes cumbersome to maintain. Quarterly is typically that right balance between the two. So that's in the methodology side. I think there's governance choices that you can make too to set your charge back up for success. So cross-functional leadership, creating a monthly steer co. Everyone likes steering committees, I know, but it is very important to do so for this type of initiative. It's important to have business and technology leaders on it to align on any design changes, changes to reporting, changes to the underlying model. But also, after you go live, highlight the wins, highlight the good work that everyone is doing. Allow this to be knowledge share within your organization. Keep the momentum going. Lastly, in the governance point too, I would mention is, I think we brought this up in part one, but oftentimes technology leaders are very passionate about what it is they provide to the business, which is great for this model. But you also want to balance that with change control. So have an annual service introduction or annual rate setting process. So if you're releasing your budget in July or August, let's say, you need to back into what is the right date for me to go through some level of technology service introduction, right? So like in March, you want to introduce services. You want to then in April, May, be able to understand the impacts of changes in those new services and the consumption associated to them, and then really use the rest of the budget cycle to kind of finalize budget amounts as well. So simple methodology choices, establishing governance is key to chargeback. And then the last piece I would mention too is, you know, after you have this data built in a model, you have people bought into it, just make sure you have simple as you can, intuitive drill down reporting, right? Like you want to ensure that you're using a platform like Apptio to be able to generate reports where people know what they're being charged and what they're being charged and why, that they can drill into the detail as they want to see the detail too.
Awesome. Yeah, it's clear that keeping the methodology simple and ensuring strong governance are essential to success. So given these important elements, I can imagine that there could be some resistance when rolling out these practices. How can companies manage resistance from business units when introducing showback and chargeback?
Yeah, point number one is something we brought up in part one as well, which is there's going to be winners and losers, kind of, I think, to the root of this question, right? Like that is, typically, it's not the people that are receiving benefit from a bill that are resisting change. They're typically on the happy end. It's the people that see their bill going up, right? Well, you want to ensure that as you're establishing like a program charter, really, within TBM, that you are positioning yourself within TBM as stewards of technology financial data, right? You are the liaison between the business and technology to make better decisions when it comes to how they're consuming data. At the end of the day, the data is the data. When you get to that point where you face resistance and you want to position yourself that way. Ideally, you had engaged the business earlier on in the design phase. You documented design decisions where that removes some of the emotion that can come out with rolling out a program like this, right? Just focus on the data. And then the second point is, you know, one that you hear of a lot is, how do I get executive sponsorship, or I need executive sponsorship for this? But it is important, right? Like you want to ensure that you have CIO and CFO type sponsorship for this engagement. You know, typically the value statement is there for both organizations, and those are the people that are naturally sponsoring something like this anyways. But that way, as there are disputes or escalations needed, you have the heft of that executive team to kind of back any of your disputes too.
Awesome. Yeah, that's a great approach, especially focusing on building trust through the data and executive sponsorship. So with that foundation in place, you know, what metrics should organizations use to measure the success of their showback and chargeback implementations?
Yeah, you know, I think in technology, business management, and finance, we push a lot of our business partners in tracking metrics for success for their projects. Probably shouldn't be any different for us, right? When we're creating our own projects too. So it's a good question. What are the metrics that TBM should be held accountable to? And I think the first thing is more of a design metric. And it's, if you're building a chargeback or a showback, how do you move towards about 70% of your model being a consumption-based charge? So when I say consumption-based, I mean, if the business is looking at one of their technology services, can they influence the, you know, expense base or the consumption of that service up or down? You know, if I want another server, is that going to require technology to procure another server? That's a pretty clear alignment there between, you know, the business and IT. So the second one is tracking optimization. How do you track wins for your program throughout the year and the life cycle of your program too, right? At the end of the day, TBM and Apptio is a reporting platform that can drive good decision-making. So you want to ensure that that platform is integrated into business reviews with technology in the business, that you are participating in those reviews as a TBM practice, and that you're tracking the wins that come out of those business reviews too. We've seen TBM and Apptio be self-funding at a lot of our organizations. And really what it all boils down to is, are you participating in operational processes and documenting the wins that come out of insights that people are getting out of Apptio and TBM as a program? And then there's, of course, other like soft and I'd say more qualitative and kind of quantitative metrics too that you could look at. You can look at performance metrics. Is your cost per unit within certain products that you provide decreasing or increasing over time? Are you getting efficiencies in your chargeback or your planning process? Is it taking you less time to deliver to the business? And then maybe it's your customer satisfaction too within the business for those that do like net promoter scores within their business. Is that increasing too as a result of your chargeback model as well? So hopefully those are good examples of kind of the variety, I think, of ways that you could track success of your TBM program.
Yeah, for sure. Those metrics really emphasize, you know, the importance of not just tracking financial outcomes, but also the broader impact of efficiency and satisfaction that you mentioned. So speaking on impact, how does implementing showback and chargeback systems influence the behavior of business units regarding technology usage?
Yeah, great question. And oftentimes we see business behavior, you know, positively incented by just having more transparency into their technology spend. And I'll actually draw on a metaphor that I read in Todd Tucker's book on TBM, which I don't remember the exact name of the book, but I'm sure you can Amazon or Google it. I'd recommend it to everyone in the space. But he brought up a metaphor, not in technology, actually. It was actually in the restaurant business, where historically kitchens at restaurants were closed kitchens. You couldn't look in and see the food that was being prepared for you at all or anything. But what happened is restaurants eventually learned that if they had open kitchens, the satisfaction of customers at the restaurant increased. They could see the food being prepared. They associated more value to it. But it also increased the satisfaction, the retention, and the engagement of the staff working in the kitchen too. You know, the chefs and the kitchen staff saw the customers that they were preparing the food for. They saw the end results of all the hard work they put into preparing the meal. So not a technology specific example, but it does play on a lot of the same behaviors and emotions that are related to businesses' interaction with technology too. Businesses are often frustrated with technology if they can't see into technology and understand what it is that technology is delivering to the business. And technology often feels a lack of appreciation from the business on what they're delivering, because they lack oftentimes the ability to coherently explain what it is that they're providing to the business. A chargeback model can improve that dynamic, just like in the restaurant example, between, you know, the customer and the kitchen, and technology between the business and IT. A chargeback model can improve that dynamic by just improving, you know, visibility basically into technology spend.
Awesome. Yeah, that's a fascinating perspective, especially the analogy that you mentioned with the restaurants with open kitchens. It really drives home how transparency can change the game within their programs.
Yeah, it's a win-win for both, right? Sure. Like, technology feels more empowered and engaged, and the business feels more, business values, I should say, technology more with transparency as well.
Yeah, totally. Can you share a success story where executing a showback or chargeback program significantly improved IT financial management and strategic alignment?
Yeah, absolutely. So this was in part one, for those who listen, hopefully you all have. If not, you know, go back and listen to part one. In part one, we talked about the difference between showback and chargeback and how we always have a preference towards moving towards a chargeback model. And this is an example of an organization that used showback. So they didn't go to a chargeback. So if anything, this shows you can get value in either model. We were working with a large financial institution that was interested in leveraging showback to assess the profitability of their revenue generating programs and products. And that's actually like one of these use cases that we see more and more often. More and more of organizations' P&Ls are aligned to technology expense, especially within certain industry verticals. And they care more and more about looking at technology operating margin of their products that they support. They had a specific business unit at this financial institution that had a hypothesis that they had certain products within their business line that were not profitable. With TBM and showback and building reporting in Apptio, we did indeed confirm that there were some loss leading products within their portfolio, while others were doing quite well. And then this was critical for them to be able to understand what they should or should not invest in. And it actually influenced product sunsetting decisions that they made. And on the other end of the coin, it further investments that they made within other products too. So this plays on a lot of the themes we mentioned, where TBM, showback model, leveraging Apptio is more and more of a critical enabler in tying technology expenses, in this case, directly to revenue generating products, and using it to make real world business decisions on what to or to not further invest in on the business side.
Yeah, that's a really powerful example of how these programs can really drive business value. So as we look into the future and as we wrap up this episode, what trends do you see in the execution of showback and chargeback programs, and how can organizations prepare for them?
Yeah, great question. I think a lot of us think as chargeback as just being focused on just recovering your technology expenses, which that is what chargeback and showback is at its core. But within that, there is constantly evolving change that needs to mirror how technology is constantly evolving and changing too. So a couple themes that we see a lot of is more and more vendors, more and more SaaS vendors especially, are moving towards more of that cloud pay-as-you-go model. There's a lot of variability in their contracts. They like it because it allows them to more directly influence consumption upwards at enterprises and therefore drive revenue for these SaaS providers. But also a lot of enterprises like it too, because those that have mature spend management processes like a charge up model feel like they can better control and manage what they are or are not investing in at these vendors too. So we see a lot of SaaS vendors moving more towards more of that cloud pay-as-you-go model too. Couple other points. So this wouldn't be any future trends conversation if we didn't bring up the theme of AI these days, but you do see a lot of AI and machine learning being integrated into the on-prem world more so. And I think on the cloud side, it's been a bit more mature and continues to mature in both machine learning and AI, where now what we're starting to see is other SaaS providers like Apptio integrate AI capabilities into the on-prem model too, primarily through natural language type models initially to better understand where are you or are you not spending money on and what are your key optimization opportunities, not only in the cloud, but also on-prem too. Another trend is that technology operating margin point I just made in the previous question. More and more P&Ls are technology driven, so they're using Apptio and TBM to better inform what products are or are not making money on the business side. And then I'd say the last point here too is we've all been talking in the context of cost throughout all this. And I think that's traditionally what we all think of with TBM. But now technology business management is moving more into carbon reporting. You see a lot of this within the European Union. More of it's coming into North America now too, where a lot of the same methodologies and ways you align cost to data centers, to servers, servers up to applications and products, follows the same methodology as carbon, right? Like the bigger the server, the hotter a data center is running, the more carbon it is emitting too. So carbon models play very well and integrate very well into cost models too. So I'm just going to wrap it all up by saying, like, chargeback models are always changing. They're always evolving, just like technology is evolving. And kind of the responsibility within TBM is to understand what those trends are and position TBM as an enabler of those trends within your organization, too.
Awesome. Those trends are really something for organizations to watch out for, especially with the rapid evolution of technology and sustainability concerns. So Quinn, thank you so much for sharing your expertise today. It's been an incredibly informative discussion and we're happy to have you on. So to our listeners, thank you for joining us on this deep dive into showback and chargeback. We hope you gain valuable insights to apply within your own organizations. So make sure to subscribe to our podcast on your favorite platform so you don't miss out and learn more by going to apptio.com. That is apptio.com. Thank you for tuning into TBM Talks and don't forget to tune into our next episode where we will explore another key aspect of ITFM. Thanks all.